So I always try to look when I'm asked to do the class on something that we can have a good discussion about. I don't like the fact of if it's just me talking. So if you have something to add, you have a question, please don't hesitate. And a lot of times I look at even current events or what's going on in the world and using that as a class, using that as a reference for the class. We've been talking in the young adult class in the back classroom. We had a great discussion the last couple weeks. But basically, in there, we're talking about how do we talk to our friends? How do we talk to our family members? How do we talk to coworkers and be an influence in there? And when I was thinking of that from last week and then thinking about what to talk about tonight, I kept thinking of all the things that are happening in our world today and all the horrible things that have become normal. And that's the problem. So we had a discussion, and it sounds bad when I say it, and I'm almost like maybe I shouldn't say this, but I've had this discussion a couple of times with some people, but we had this discussion, the Waco congregation last week in our discussion period, but we're so mixed up in our world today that, and again, this isn't good in any way, but we've seen videos of people going into the grocery store and I can't even remember what brand it is now, but a beer. So a beer company has decided to put a man who's dressed as a woman as the face of its company. Bud Light, is that what it is? Okay, yeah, I don't know why I'm even arguing. Someone walks in here tonight and they're like, what's the first thing you heard in there? Well, they're talking about Bud Light or something. So obviously, no, beer is bad. But you see these commercials, or not these commercials, we've seen these videos of people going in, destroying this beer, and the company has lost so much money. That's kind of a good thing then to see when you see or hear that. But that's how mixed up and crazy we are in our world today, that they put a man who's celebrating a year as a woman on its cans and as its, I want to say sponsor, but the face, literally the face of the company. And it's, I guess the point I'm trying to make is, obviously I'm not here to talk about beer or beer cans, but that people at least are making a stand against that and doing something. But there's so many other things. And again, we see this happening all the time where people, men who are competing in sports as women, and then they end up winning. Well, and again, someone brought this up too. It's like, well, where are all the feminists in all of this? Why aren't they, you know, yelling and screaming and that the men are taking over, you know, their sports. So, and this is just a small portion of those things that we hear and that we see and that are around us. There was someone talking the other day too that it should be illegal for you to not use the pronouns that someone wants you to use for them. And again, I can go on and on. You can just quickly look on the internet and look at so many different examples of this and find it that, you know, in your mind. Obviously, we've gone crazy as a world. We, and as Christians, we know that everyone is getting further and further away from God in His Word in there. Now, so one of the things I wanted to look at tonight is just doing what is right in each and every step of the way, always doing what's right, always looking towards God in there. So, and we think, what are some things that we want in our lives, right? We all want to be healthy. We all want to have nice things. We all want, you know, food on the table at all times. But there are many people in this world that want the wrong things, and they're seeking the wrong things. And it's not just something that's maybe even morally wrong, but things that don't last. Like one of the things I've even talked with the boys, you know, even talking about financial things. There are things that I remember when I was younger, and I remember going to Akron U, and one of the first things when you're there, it was the Gardner Student Center at the time, but you're given credit card applications. And then everyone wants to fill it out because I don't have any money. But a credit card, it gives you money. Well, it's not really giving you money. It's really taking away money from you as well. But I said, but the point is, I was trying to tell them, there was nothing that I own today from that time period that I really have anymore that I can look to. So again, think about things that have value to them that will last forever. And that's the problem with the world today is they're wanting things that are temporary, that are right now, that are satisfying for them at the moment. But even Christians at times can fall into those same things where they're looking more at spiritual goals, or excuse me, they're looking more at physical goals over those things that are spiritual. And again, all those physical things, they're not going to last forever. They're not going to always be with you. I've said this before, I still like playing sports. I still like to get out on the soccer field. But I can tell you, it hurts so much more today, right? My knees aren't what they used to be. And that's something that's not lasting. It's not going to last. It's sad, it hurts, but we have to understand those things. But again, over our lifetime, what are we striving for? What are we looking for? In Colossians chapter 3, beginning of verse 1, in the first two verses there actually, it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." And that should be for each and every Christian, should be each and every person in this world. But if we think about it, then that if we look at what's in our future, if we look at something beyond, excuse me, the things in this life, we can have so much more. Life is fragile. I say this all the time, too, is like, we all know people who have died young. We all read about stories of people dying very young. I was reading something yesterday, and I was on something else, and there was a young couple who just got married. I think it was South Carolina. It was one of the Carolinas. And as they were leaving the ceremony, I believe they were on a golf cart in some car. Someone was drinking and driving, came and slammed in the golf cart, killed the bride. Just married hours before that. So life is fragile. Life, many times, can be short. So again, he says, seek things that are above, where Christ is. And then he says later on, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So when we hear those stories of all that, again, not keeping, people can't decide if they're a man, if they're a woman. There was someone I was listening to not too long ago, too, and they were talking about childbirth. And being pregnant, and this interviewer says, you know, something about, I forget how she worded it. She said, a birthing person or birthing people. He goes, "You mean mothers?" And she goes, "Well, they can be." And so then he gets into more conversation. I'm going to get it wrong. I'm trying to think of it now as we do it. And he goes, "Well, what other people can become pregnant other than mothers?" And she goes, "Well, men," something to that effect. And basically what she was saying was someone who is a woman but identifies as a man. Well, again, it's a woman biologically. But you can't do it with anything else in this world. This is how, again, mixed up it is. You can't say all of a sudden you're a purple dinosaur and then, well, you have to do it. Well, oh, no, in his argument then, this is great. I don't want to get too far into this, but he said, okay, He said, you have to say I'm correct in everything I say. I am the correct person in every argument. That's how I identify. Well, she goes, well, no, that's different. Well, no, absolutely not. But that's how mixed up we are, because people are not looking towards God. People are looking towards whatever they want in this world and what they want in their life. Even we see people seeking after the wrong things, and they're like, Paul. Yeah, absolutely, and you're right. They're cheering it. They're saying, making sure this is okay, and obviously it's not getting better. And another point I want to get to in just a few minutes too is the fact of how is it going to get better? How is it going to stop too? But you're absolutely right, Paul. It's like it's not just things that are going on, but people are cheering it. They're praising it. And how many people do we see, I guess, standing against it and fighting it? I'll get to that in just a second here. as well. But even in the Old Testament, we look at even Esau in Genesis chapter 25. And beginning of verse 29, let's just read it here. It says, "Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. Esau said to Jacob, 'Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary.' Therefore, his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, 'Sell your birthright as of this day.' And Esau said, 'Look, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me as of this day.' So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." So again, what value do people have in what's true and what's real in life? And again, this is just one example in the Old Testament, but we see people giving up everything giving up their life, realistically, for things of this world. And maybe it's for a position, maybe it's for a title, maybe it's just to go out there and be seen. And people want the temporary gratification of things in this world versus the eternity in heaven and what heaven has to offer. And just as Paul mentioned a moment ago, it's temporary. But again, people are praising those evil things, even though it's not going to last them. We think what value did that have to Esau? What value does God have to each and every one of us? And even as Christians, you know, I said earlier that even Christians, we have to be careful that we're not just looking towards the temporal, the temporary physical things in this life. I often say this, we've talked about this in a class, we were studying this one time too, that, you know, a lot of times we show up here and I guess, and this is just for each individual to answer for themselves, I can't answer for you, but are we really in it? In other words, are we here, are we listening, are we studying, are we wanting, are we striving to do those things, or are we just showing up and then we're leaving, we're gone until the next time that we're here? And how important is it to be here? Do we want to be here as well? And even later on in Hebrews, we read in Hebrews chapter 12 that it also tells us that Esau, you know, lost his blessing there. He sought to undo what he did, but he couldn't as well. So how many things do we seek after in our life that really have, no meaning, temporary meaning, that we just go along with the things? And that was the other point I had too, is like, are we just going along with things in this world because that's what everyone else is doing? Does everyone know we're different in our work? Do people know that we are Christians? They would know we're different. Autumn. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. You put so much effort into something that's temporary, and like you said, he said just a few seconds of it. Did it even matter? But I think we do that with so many things in our lives too. We look at the physical things that we put so much effort into those things that they're not here forever. They're not. You know, I mentioned sports earlier, right? If you play sports, you have to train for those things, right? You put a lot of effort into it. If you want to be a starter on a team, on a sports team, you have to put, like, everything into that. But how long will that last? How long are sports players, professional players, even in the sport? Not very long. And some we know are phenomenal athletes. Some are not. They're in there. But that's temporary in everything they do. And then again, I mentioned earlier jokingly that, you know, it hurts when you get to a certain age. We all know that. And those things are temporary. But as Christians, you know, do we put the same amount of effort? What did Paul usually, what was an analogy Paul used as far as sport when he talked about Christianity and his faith? Yeah, race or running. Doing that in there, and multiple times he talks about this. And what basically what's he saying about it with the running?
Well, your physical body won't last. It's no big deal.
Yeah. But it's an endurance, right? You have to you keep going with it. And he uses words like striving. And again, when you think of an athlete, when you think of a race, you think of someone who is pushing and striving. And when we're seeking things that are right as Christians, are we striving after them? Do we really want them? Or again, all those are those things just empty, temporary? They're not going to last. Sam.
Yeah, we went down to Worcester last night to the gospel meeting, and he had an excellent lesson. And he was talking about military, really.
Okay. Yeah, and that's a
individual, and you have to live it individually.
Sure. And something similar along the lines that, I mean, we were even talking about here in our class last Wednesday was when you talk about work, things that you have to do. And what Galatians, actually, let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. Because that brings up, I guess, me into a bit of a segue into there too. And absolutely, and we see that we must constantly do things. But I had something else on here. Let me turn back here. I want to look at Galatians chapter 6 in the first, let's say, five verses here. Yeah. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own load. But yeah, you just talked about too some of the things that we have to do on our own. Now, it's funny in this verse. There's a few things I actually take from this section, and the one thing we talked about last week was when we're, and I guess this was something I was going to even use a little bit later. But let's say we're not doing the right things, and I think it's talking specifically about a Christian who has fallen away. Because if anyone is caught, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him. And then, but how? How should they be restored? Basically, how should they be approached? How should they be talked to? A spirit of gentleness. Yeah, and with that is, and we know if someone is in a transgression, someone has done wrong, we want to say what is right, and we take it from the Bible. But have you ever heard someone tell somebody, and I'm kind of exaggerating this, but I've heard this along the same lines of, well, the scripture, the Bible says this. You either do this or else, right? And that's not exactly what they're saying, but it's almost in the same sense. But so, how would one do that in a spirit of gentleness, though?
Well, you can only use the word of God.
Yes, absolutely. You want to use the truth. You want to use God's word. But again, this is something you would sit down with that person. I guess reason would be that how I'm going to say it and talking with them, and not just saying, because if you tell someone you have to do this or else, most people are not going to be like, I see your point. That's really good. I'm going to go ahead and do that then. No, they want you to talk with them and again, reason with them in a spirit of gentleness. Matt. Yes. Exactly. Right, and he showed tact. He showed understanding, you know, with what someone would be going through. And I think I look at that the same way that, and again, we're talking about making right decisions, and maybe someone who has made a wrong decision, or even someone in the world, because I think this would also still apply in that same sense that when you go to talk to somebody, I remember I sat down several hours with someone one time at Akron U, and was trying to talk, and it would have been easy to just say, well, it says this, but then we use the scripture. And again, just as Matt's saying, have some tact with it. Talk with them. Have understanding. Have some even empathy. I understand what you're going through, but this is where we want to get to in that point. And again, a spirit of gentleness. I had someone when I brought this up one time. This was several years ago too. And again, they almost made it sound like I'm saying, well, no, you gotta tell them exactly what the scripture. And I said, I agree with you 100%. You do. And we're taking it from scripture. But how we do that can be a different thing. And again, and I'm joking with Mary here and saying that, it's like, you do this or else. But if I give it in a different way and say, hey, I'd like to sit down and talk with you, you know, about the scripture here and what it says, and this is the reason why, and I have some concern here, and, you know, let's talk. You'll be absolutely more receptive to that than anything else. You know, when you get a work evaluation and your boss maybe tells you that you need to work on something or do something wrong, most people are defensive in that because everyone thinks they're doing everything right. But then sometimes you look and you realize, maybe I'm not doing it and I need to look into that and see. Jeannie. Right.
You know, and in the past, it wasn't, you know, things were a lot nicer and it wasn't so evil, so maybe you wanted to stay here more. But the way I'm looking at it, it's so evil now. That's no big, you know, that's where you want to go to get away from this.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's why God let this happen or what, but it's just like the Christians, they should want that. So, it's scary to die, there's no doubt about it, but who wants to live in this kind of.
Absolutely. And I'm using this from someone else. I used this before. But how does everyone feel when they're here tonight versus when they leave here and they go to work or go out in the world somewhere tomorrow? You know, and Jeannie, you're absolutely right because it's a completely different place. And it's when we come here together, whether we're studying God's word, whether we're in worship, we're singing, whatever it is, it's weird to say, but in one sense, it's an escape too, from all the evil, all those things that are happening out in the world. Yeah, absolutely. And we need to seek, we need to strive, we need to push, because those things aren't going to change. They're definitely not going to change if we don't do anything about it too. Good points, yeah. Autumn.
Celebrate the healing of him. And that was in a physical.
Yeah, and you said, how many opportunities did you just say a couple of minutes ago, like six or seven? Yeah, so, but okay, so now we think about that, and I'm glad you bring that up, because, again, one of the topics we talked the other night was about opportunity. Now, though, did you wait for those opportunities to come to you, or did you seek those opportunities? Well, sure, but we have to do something, right? Those things aren't just going to happen. Most of the time, they're not going to happen. I'm not saying there are occasions where those things happen one time. I had a situation one time. We were at Target after service, and I had to buy deodorant, and someone came up to me, and I forget what he was doing. He wanted to talk to me about something. I think it was like one of those things. Hey, I got a business opportunity or something for you. And he's always dressed up, and we started talking, and I told him, you know, why and where I was coming from. And we started talking a little bit, and I had one of our cards actually at that time with me and gave it and invited them to a service. Now, this was a few years ago. I never had seen them there. But, you know, there's a time that opportunity kind of happened and it there. But do we also seek those opportunities? He's not out here, and I'll embarrass him for a minute, but Zach Steinbach, he brought up a great point, too, and he and I were talking about this. He's like, and why don't we get those opportunities? Why do those opportunities not, quote-unquote, even present themselves? And then the question was, are we making ourselves into those opportunities? Are we making ourselves, we're uncomfortable a lot of times with talking about it at times, because we think maybe we don't know, but are we putting ourselves in that position for an opportunity as well? Matt? Yeah.
There's something years ago back in one of the classes, Sean Etheridge told me, he said, that I will never forget. He's so right. Because when we pray and pray and pray and pray for all these different opportunities, he goes, the opportunities are there. If you look at what Jesus did, he created an opportunity. So the opportunities are probably countless everywhere we go.
Yeah.
It's whether or not of creating the opportunity. And sometimes that's going to come down to, you know, something that just opens the door for it very quickly.
Yeah.
Jesus created conversation. And that's what Sean was doing. And it made me think, like, there's never not an opportunity. He goes, when is there not an opportunity to have an opportunity? And it made me think to talk to someone. And he was right. The opportunities are endless.
Yeah.
She said she had eight. There was probably more than that. And I'm just saying for all of us. There's
right.
We can create the opportunity to talk to people. That's called sowing the seed. And that's what the Bible says. You sow the seed, you invite small things.
Absolutely. And I, as you're saying that too, I was thinking, how many people do we talk to on a weekly basis, but a daily basis in things? And again, maybe that includes family, that includes friends, coworkers. I've had some phenomenal conversations at work that a topic just gets started and then we start talking. And we've had some good, we've even had, you studied the Bible, a few of us together as well too, and talked about some things. Actually at work, they were getting one together and I'm like, well, I'm going to get in on this and listen in and argued some points too. And I think, you know, made some at least people think about truly what the scripture is saying. But absolutely, opportunity, sometimes we wait for those things to happen. We wait for the opportunity. We think it's going to come upon me and I'm going to wait for the right time and then I'm going to do it. But opportunity is always there. It's always around us. And okay, so while we're on this, and I want to keep going with this right now, is why don't we have more opportunities? Why aren't those opportunities there?
Well, the world don't look at it.
Okay. Sure.
Just like I was in a restaurant last week eating supper, and a priest walked in. A Catholic priest walked in, and the waitress says, "Hi, Father. Bloody salad. Here you go, Father." And so, of course, as I was paying my bill, I didn't want to say to the priest to get They could, but it wouldn't have done any good.
Right.
You know, I mean, she understood what I said, and she understood what the scripture said about it.
But there was an opportunity there, and you saw it, and you understood. I was at a coffee shop not too long ago, and I heard some people talking, and they were talking about all of a sudden this gentleman he started speaking in tongues, mm-hmm. and so started to, and it unfortunately didn't get too far. But why is that, and how was that, and what's the purpose of the tongues, and then getting into so who translated then for you as well. So and again that's one of the things of confusion. Of people, and again, he's on some. So one of the things too, often I like to talk about is the fact that, especially when we're talking about even, let's say Galatians 6, and talking with someone in the spirit of gentleness, we also have to have a feeling of what we are doing. It's not just about regurgitating scripture. It's not just about telling someone this is what the scripture says and this is what you must do. But do you feel that in there? Do you have a sense of emotion involved with it as well?
It hurts.
It hurts, yeah.
Yes,
yeah, there are things that there's hurt, there's pain, there's joy. But are we thinking about it when we're doing it? Or, and this is something I've always thought about in this same section of, are we just saying, telling someone this is what the scripture says because we just want to show them what we know? We just want to show them that we know this verse and this is what it says. Again, you have to do this or else. Or does it matter to us? Are we thinking beyond today? Remember how I said earlier that we're looking towards, and I read Colossians chapter 3, where we're looking towards things above. Are we thinking, though, constantly of what's beyond this life? Are we thinking about that there's greater than this on this earth? And there's greater than, and again, whatever thing, horrible sin that we can think of that's out there today, that the world is, and again, I'll say what Paul said earlier, is celebrating it, is literally waving a flag for it as well. Yeah, go ahead. Right. And there are many people who will say they're religious. They'll say they're Christians because to them, in that point, it's more of a, what's the word?
Obligation.
Yeah, a fad, so to speak, just something to say. A long time ago, I used the idea of you wear a Letterman's jacket that says you're a Christian when you're here, but then you take it off and you're gone. And I don't get that either, Paul. I don't understand because what does, I guess then the question is, what does the world have to offer you? What is better than being here? And absolutely, Paul, and I don't know. I don't know a good answer because there's probably many that are wrong, but why would someone not want eternity? Why would someone not want to have that hope that would be forever? Autumn, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And people, it's hard to understand sometimes, again, why some people do and why some people don't even. Kelly, go ahead, too. Yeah.
It's not even a matter of like what you said. They think they can do whatever they want. It's going to be fucked. Like, they don't think what the Bible says about going. He's not going to do that.
Right.
He loves us. You know what I mean? He's not going to. I think that's the biggest problem. That people think they can just do whatever they want. And they're still going to go to heaven.
And that's the mindset of the world today, right?
Yeah,
they can.
That's hard to like.
Yep. Don talks about Calvinism all the time, too. And again, that same idea that can do no wrong. And the one thing to kind of end this here, I guess that was the second bell, right? Was that the first second? You know, thinking of Luke 14 and everyone invited to the great feast there. And what happens? Everyone makes excuses. Everyone starts saying, well, I have this, I have that, I have a new wife. And they keep making excuses. And that's the world today. And that can be us as well. So absolutely, they're making excuses. Yep. No. Right. And they're not going to change. And the one point, and I'll just end with this, I wanted to get to, I didn't, but remember, we have to take a stand. We have to do something because it's not going to change. It's not going to get any better. That those same people that Kelly's even talking about aren't all of a sudden going to say one day and wake up, yeah, maybe I should make that change. Unless we do something, we stand up, we speak out, and we say something. So thank you for your time. I appreciate everyone this evening.